do begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. Quick reminder that if you haven't hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts or the follow button on Spotify, now is the time to do it. You're on your phone, hit that back button. It only takes like two steps, legit, no more than a few seconds. So please support the show. And if you did already, thank you. If you're about to hit it, I'm sure this episode's going to convince you. So with that being said, today's episode is with Gloria Martinez. She is a spoken word artist and poet. And if you know, if her name sounds familiar, if you're like, wait a second, this kind of sounds familiar, then that's probably because you've seen her other performances before at Alivio Open Mic at the Southeast LA Arts Festival just a few years ago out in the riverbed. Or you probably caught her performance at the first annual Southgate Art Walk, where your favorite podcast host, Eddie, was at. And if you caught her performance, you were probably like, my God, this is some good stuff, and I want to see more. Well, this is the episode to do it. I got the chance to talk to her and have an intimate experience listening to her poetry. I hope you guys find this time to kind of like sit down and really digest the words that are, you know, are being summoned here. And just allow it to take you for a ride. You know, this is the moment where we're allowed to do that. Because in general, audio is very personal. It's something that you're consuming on your own, you know, with headphones or in your car. Something that you're more than likely doing on your own. And when you allow yourself to kind of open up your mind and your ears, first and foremost, to the experience, that in its own will allow you to have a visual representation of what you're hearing. And it's this weird thing that our body does, you know, but it's something that really transports you somewhere else if you're really kind of just letting it guide you. So I hope this conversation makes you feel the same way. I hope you enjoy her words. I hope for anybody who is looking for like a sign to do your thing and just like make the jump for it, I hope this conversation kind of comes across at the right time and allows you to liberate yourself, you know? So again, I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. Today's music is by The Honeytones with their song Powder Blue. Check it out. Beautiful song. I hope you guys enjoy it. Very dreamy, and I don't know, it just makes you feel good, you know? It's like those type of songs that you hear when you're like, just kind of like, life is beautiful type of thing. So enjoy, support. You guys know what to do. See you next week. Social Planet Podcast. Today, my guest is Gloria Martinez. She is a spoken word artist and poet. And if you've recognized the name, if you recognize the face, it's because she was at the event at the Art Walk in Southgate earlier this month. Again, thank you for making it out.
No, thank you. Thank you for making the time as well and providing the platform for us artists to share a little bit about our passion.
Thank you. Starting with your passions, I know from what I've seen on Instagram, what you kind of, you know, you and I talked about a little bit before, there was a lot of, there was some sort of hesitation when you kind of started on this, right? You've kind of just, you're not like a newbie per se, but you still feel like it's kind of fresh for you, right?
Yes. So I still feel like a newbie. I don't know what you're talking about. but no, it's been a few years that I started embarking on this journey of putting myself out there and just being comfortable with listening to my own voice. And it's not something that it's been constant. So it's been something that I try and then I stop and then I take one step forward, three steps back, and then I try again. And I think finally now, most recently, I've gotten a little bit more comfortable with the idea of just consistently writing, consistently putting myself out there, and just sharing a little bit more of me with this world. So
I think it's interesting because when somebody hears a story like this, you automatically think like, oh, well, it sounds like they're comfortable with it, right? Like you get this idea, this false sense of security that this person is confident with within their skills. But little do they know that there's that whole process that you were just talking about that was like, I don't know if I should, like, you know, that hesitation. And I think that's what I found. One of the poems that you performed at the Art Walk was in regards to fear, like, you know, just how you feel paralyzed at some moments in your life, whether it's because you're in danger or whether it's just something happening in your life that's kind of like you really don't know what to do. There's that something that's holding you back, you know, and it's hard to break free from it sometimes.
Yeah. That was written in a moment of extreme fear where I was getting ready to transition careers and I wasn't sure if it was going to be the right move or not. So just releasing that fear, and I constantly fight that fear. So for me, it was a different concept of like switching from fighting to just like releasing. And it just ended up, I was laying on my floor and it came to me and I just grabbed my journal, wrote it down. And I was like, this is going to be my prayer every single time that I feel afraid. So I felt that it was very appropriate for me to start off the performance with that. Because up until maybe like a few days before, I was still debating whether or not I should go up and do it.
So, like, oh my God, like you were just nervous, like crazy.
Yeah, I was like, what did I get myself into? Like, what am I doing? I felt that if I recited that prayer, not necessarily a prayer, but almost a prayer for me, at the beginning of the performance, then everything else would fall into place.
Yeah, kind of like affirmations to yourself, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just funny because yesterday I was talking to my son and he was playing some game and he's like, no, I can't do it. And he wanted to change the difficulty from whatever he was playing it at to the easiest one just to get past this part. And I'm like, dude, you can't do that. Like, that's just teaching you that if there's an easy way out, you're going to take it. So I'm like, you're going to have to challenge yourself, you know? And the whole point was that you have to change the way that you're wording things. Like, instead of saying, you know, I can't do this or I don't do that, like use different words, like making yourself feel like you're being challenged compared to just limiting yourself.
Oh my God. I'm such a huge believer in reframing our words and reframing the way that we speak to ourselves and the way that we speak to our children. I think it's super, 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 super important. Because I know that I have a lot of negative self-talk and I'm pretty sure a lot of us do.
Yeah.
And it's really great that you as a parent were able to catch them and correct them, because a lot of times no one is pointing it out to you. And it isn't until you become an adult that you start realizing like, oh my God, like I really speak very negatively about myself, and who's going to speak positively if not me, right?
Exactly.
So I'm glad that you did that. I'm so, so happy to hear that. But yes, reframing the way that we speak, the words that we say out loud and then we hear back is so important.
Yeah. And that's why, again, I enjoyed what you said in regards to that poem. Real quick, would you mind reciting that on here?
No, I don't mind reciting it. I'm totally fine reciting it.
I mean, awesome. Yeah. I mean, for the audience who's listening and, you know, for they're like, man, what are they talking about? Like, if you don't mind, like, if we can get that recital, this is like an exclusive Social Primate performance right now.
It is just for you guys. Let me pull it up here because I did have it memorized, but I always like to have the backup.
Yeah, of course. You got to take a sneak peek every now and then.
Yes, exactly. So it is called Ode to Fear. And it's fear. I want to speak you out of my heart that can't find peace, out of my eyes that can't see clear, out of my bones that collapse with a whisper of your lies. I need to speak you out. Let my breath be your wings to carry you far. Out of my being, I set you free.
There's some clapping going on. Woo! That was awesome. It's powerful because, what I like about the whole spoken word and the like poetry just in general is that a lot of it comes from like an internal, you know, there's something internally going on within that person that just needs to get out. And yes, a lot of it, you know, again, people think it's easy to go up there, but it's not, you know, like just my own perspective on it. Yeah, you get the nerves. The same thing before, like a few days before this whole event at the Art Walk, I was thinking like, nah, I can't, I shouldn't go. And like, I was just finding like an excuse to kind of like tell myself like, oh, I'm justifying why I'm not going to show up. But like once you go through it, it's when you realize that like, you take that deep breath and you're like, man, that wasn't that bad. That was actually pretty good.
Yeah. It's such an empowering feeling. Such an empowering feeling. And like speaking on the whole, like release and then like finding that empowerment within that, like after you release and just giving that joy. That's really what the event felt like for me. I walked up there and my hands were still shaking and you could see my heart pounding and like your sight is almost all blurry. So I remember like looking out, being just on stage and then not even being able to focus. Everything was just kind of like a blur. And then finally, once I started reciting and once I started sharing, everything kind of came into focus and everything just felt like it was flowing. And it almost feels like it's not even you doing it. It's like something that is going through you and you're just a vessel. So that's just what it felt like to me. And after, there was a moment at the event that I've never felt before. And it was that moment where I was looking out and everything was in motion. And then as soon as I started performing and as soon as I started reciting, things just started to slow down. Mm-hmm. And I saw people's attention focusing on me and my words. And it scared me, but it felt so good. It felt so great to like know that what I was saying was resonating, was landing, and someone was receiving it. And it was such a great feeling. And I was very happy and honored to be able to experience that.
Yeah. And it's cool because that kind of art form is rarely seen like at events, you know, or just, or people aren't exposed to it as, you know, as often as you think they would be, you know. It's rarely when they come across somebody that's a poet and they're like reciting something. Right. And again, for you and nowadays to capture somebody's attention for just a little bit, it's an effort, you know. People are making, trying to make money on social media just to get your attention, and to physically have the connection where somebody can be like what, like, you know, double turn and be like, oh damn, this is some hardcore heavy stuff. Now going with that, you know, however much detail you want to go into, like at what point did you feel like you needed to express that, like you couldn't take it anymore, like you just had to release that beast in you?
You know, I've always liked writing. I've never completed a journal. I've always started journals but never finished them. And it wasn't until I was in college taking an English class, and one of my professors encouraged us to write a poem. And so I ended up writing a poem to my mom back then that every time that I recite to this day still gets me emotional. But that was the moment where I saw my words living on paper, and he forced us to recite it in front of the class. Mm-hmm. And I remember how afraid I was. So that was like my first experience. And after that, I never wanted to do it again because it was just so terrifying. So I stopped. Like I did it for the class assignment and that was it. But that gave me a glimpse into what was inside. And I never knew. And it wasn't until years later, I ended up visiting Alivio Open Mic.
Yeah. Yeah,
which
Eric.
Is hosted by Eric. Yes, Eric Contreras. He's amazing. So I saw that a friend shared on social media and I was like, well, I was just coming out of this, like almost like depression. And I was like, I need to surround myself with people who appreciate art, people who are going to be welcoming and not judging. And so I just ended up at Olivia Open Mic, not really knowing anybody. Mm-hmm. And the space felt so safe. The space felt welcoming. I saw a lot of new poets going up there and performing. And I thought, wow, this is a place where I could potentially show my vulnerabilities and no one's going to condemn me or judge me, but rather they're going to celebrate it. Mm-hmm. And so that's when it started. I want to say about 3 years ago, 2018. In 2018, I performed there. And I went up and Eric said, like, hey, you should come back up again, you know, come again. And mm-hmm. so I went again and then again, and then I got a little bit afraid because I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this isn't me. I'm not a poet. This isn't me. And then it wasn't until he encouraged me to perform at the Cela Art Fest, the very, very first Cela Art Fest. Oh, yeah.
Is that the one at the riverbed, right?
Yes.
That was awesome. Yeah.
So it was the first year that we were hosting it. And he's like, apply to perform. And I hesitated on the application. And finally, I did it. So I got selected. I performed a poem that I wrote for my son mm-hmm. that talks about motherhood. And it was very well received. It was very well received. And that was my email ringing.
That's cool.
But after that, I realized, like, you know, there is something inside that maybe if I share, others might be able to be inspired mm-hmm. to either share their story as well or to learn something from what I have to say. So that's really where it started, 2018.
No, that's good. I mean, that's like obviously before COVID. So like there was a bunch of people in those events. I remember Cela Art Fest. It was packed. Beautiful experience because yes. It's a misrepresented, underused area that nobody really cares mm-hmm. about. But they made it into something cool. And it's cool, again, that you had the opportunity to perform at something that is that not only like changes the way other people depict our community, you know, because you think of Cela and you think of factories and like mm-hmm. Farmer John's or something, all this stuff, but you don't really see the people that are in there because there's just a bunch of other stuff that's, you know, overwhelming it. But it's cool that these things happen. And again, it's awesome that you get to perform this stuff, and especially that you managed to make that change where you were confident enough to start taking on this task. Like recently I had a conversation with just in an interaction with somebody at work. And they were just saying how they just started picking up illustration. Like they're some creative director for some small company. For some small company. And basically they're like, you know, it's a soulless job. Like there's nothing coming out of it. Like, sure, it does what I need to do to kind of survive in this society, like in terms of paying mm-hmm. your stuff, but it's like dead end, you know, and they feel bad and now they're jumping into illustration and they're just getting that confidence to really try to push themselves out of a zone that they've been comfortable for so long.
Yeah. You know, that's, I love that you say that because that's really why I decided to, outside of Eric creating a safe space, I felt that I was ready to conquer this fear of public speaking, of being in front of people. So I've always been the shy, quiet, obedient student in class that, you know, like follows the rules and, you know, doesn't call attention to herself. That's always been me growing up. And like hearing my own voice always sounded kind of weird. But I realized if I really want to evolve into the woman that I want to be, there's this area that I haven't been addressing that is the one that hides behind my shyness. Mm. So in order for me to be able to see her, I need to like literally like see her in front of like show myself in front of others so that I can see myself as well. And I decided that it was going to be public speaking. I've always liked, you know, to like share, but I've never felt that people would listen. So I felt that I needed to control or like learn how to speak publicly. Mm-hmm. And so I said, what better way than doing it through poetry, because it's something that's already written. It's something that's coming from me. So I really went up there to see how it would feel like to speak in front of people. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that it was terrifying, but also very liberating. And then also I feel personally that from that day in 2018 to now, there's been extreme growth in my ability mm-hmm. to communicate, my ability to share, my ability to connect with other people. So there's just been a great growth.
And that goes to the whole, like, you know, you gain that confidence, like mm-hmm. with, I mean, sometimes it just takes that little push, but because like, I mentioned this plenty of times on the podcast, but like from this conversation, or I guess the podcast that I've done, I wouldn't come off as a shy person, but like if I go to a party nowadays, like I'll still be the one that like just kind of like hanging through the back, you know, just like mm-hmm. do one of those Irish goodbyes, just like, hey, and oh, where did he go? You know, I'll still, I'm guilty with that. Yeah, go through the back door. Yeah. No, but I mean, I still, that's something that I'm working towards, but it was mm-hmm. through this whole medium that I was able to really, you know, gain more confidence in myself too, as a, I wouldn't say public speaker, but at least as a host, you know. And I like, because when you record this kind of stuff, you can see the progress, you know, mm-hmm. from the beginning to now, and you see how much more has changed. And it's cool. But again, it's just chasing it, you know, like mm-hmm. if you want it, I think you'll know when you really want it. And I don't know, maybe this is me talking out of my own experiences, but I hope that's something that people can come to terms with.
Yeah, and it is. You do have to want it. You have to want to learn more about yourself. You know, this is a process. It's an ongoing process. And that's yeah. how I started seeing it. Every single time that I do something that pushes me out of my comfort zone, I'm learning about myself. I'm learning about my own limitations, or like self-imposed limitations. Yes. I'm learning how to break through those limitations. I'm learning what feels right, what doesn't, what kind of people I gravitate towards, which ones, you know, I try to repel, and like yeah. environments that I feel comfortable in, the ideas that I want to surround myself with. And it's all a self-discovery process. And then for me, especially, you mentioned that you're a parent, like I'm a parent as well. It's bringing him along that journey and helping mm-hmm. him with those, you know, like learning steps and just self-discovery within himself. So yeah, it's, you have to want it. You have to want to grow. You have to want to learn about yourself. And I think that's really how we end up falling in love with ourselves, right? Like there's so much talk about self-love, but
yeah,
it's like self-learning, you know, like you have to really discover who you are.
Yeah, for reals. And I know sometimes people can think it's it could sound selfish, you know, when you say like, oh, I'm self-love, I'm, you know, I'm gonna do me. And a lot of people do it in a toxic way, sure, but at the same time it, like, it's something that is required. It, like, I learned the hard way that love doesn't come from the external, it comes from the internal. And mm-hmm. once it's from the internal, then you can radiate it out to the external, you know. It's not the other way around. Like if you're depending on something or someone else to make you happy, then when that is gone, you're just destined to be miserable, you know. And mm-hmm. so it's heartbreaking, you know. A lot of people are like, no, they don't want to believe it, but it has to happen, you know. It has to come from the inside.
Yes. And you know, like that actually, that's where Bruja, the other poem that I performed, yeah. That's how it was born, because it was this feeling of, I want to get to know that part of me that I've been hiding. I want to get to know her. Like, who is she? Like, let's bring light to the different areas that make us who we are. And one of them was the chillona, right? Like mm-hmm. we always bash on her, but that is a part of me, a part of us as women. I want to say, you know, I don't think I'm alone in that. Yeah. But there's that. So that's really how Bruja was born. I was like, oh, let me talk about the things that make me feel a little bit uncomfortable.
No. And again, you got to voice them, because I think it's number one, liberating for yourself, because you're, mm-hmm. you know, it's like when you're thinking about something, sometimes you talk about it out loud and you're like, oh my God, it sounded worse in my head than it did when I'm voicing it. You know, like there's this whole mm-hmm. different connection to it. And the same thing, you know, once you're going through those moments, it's important for you to voice it for yourself. But then when other people hear it, you know, I think there's a lot of our sensory comes from our eyes, you know, and our environment are able to feel. But sound is one of the like key ones, you know, it's outside of it being able to balance ourselves and all that stuff. It's one of those ones that regardless of what we're doing, it's always picking up. Like there's always this stuff. And you hear something, el chisme, you're like, wait, what? You know, or something. But again, it's like those things that once you hear it, it's easier for it to make an impact on you, you know. I guess it depends on how it's being said. Mm-hmm. But for those people, can you recite the Bruja one? Because it has to be done.
It has to, right? let's do it. Let me get in that feeling, because
yes,
you know, it's always about getting it in that emotion. Whenever it comes to writing or mm-hmm. reciting, you really have to get in that flow.
Go.
So this is Bruja. Here is to the Bruja inside. Yeah, you know, the one we like to hide. Covering her up with a good girl cloak, shining with self-righteousness and virtue, saying things like, I am not like that. But we sure do like to talk smack, and we sure know how to fight back. So let's be real now. We know we are not innocent ones. We've seen too much, lived through much, done things we swore never to do, shed more tears than we've had to. And it don't matter how often we pray. We know we ain't saints. So forgive me if for me, my faith does not look the same. Forgive me, because in me, there's a passion that cannot be tamed. And I will not be confined by the pressures of being a perfect señorita boxed in by expectations and criticisms. Pero, ¿qué va a decir la gente? Que diga lo que quiera. To me, marriage is not my ticket to freedom, and having children is not my claim to success. I will liberate my spirit, paint it with my failures, let it soar with my independence. And while I'm at it, here is to the chillona inside. Because yes, from time to time, I do get all caught up in my feelings that I can't even reason. And the fire inside does not let me listen. So I sit in my car, flipping through my phone, trying to find someone to call. Tears flooding down my cheekbones. And I realize this is what alone feels like. But here is to the chingona in us that never gives up. Full of confidence and sass. And no, we don't have to be loud to be heard. We are lovers of growth, daughters of broken homes, women of wounds, mothers, and sometimes also fathers to the new generation of warriors. We are seekers of truth and spiritual healers. We are all of this and more. So cheers to the Bruja inside.
Powerful. No, and this is what I mean about the whole, and what you were saying too, before you started, it's like getting into that, like the mindset, because mm-hmm. right, you know, once you started saying that, you can immediately pick up the emotion and the gravity of the words that you're saying, you know, and that's what people hear. And that's what makes that emotional connection, you know, and that's what you want from you're basically selling them an experience. That's what you're really doing.
Yeah, it's about taking them through like these feelings and allowing them to feel it too alongside you.
How do, like, I'm pretty sure that when you started, like, you having to be intimate about your experiences and figuring out how to put in a little package and present it, like, how do you choose what you chase after? Like, what, like, if you're just doing your thing, like, what comes to your mind when this moment happens?
When the theme of what I'm going to write about comes to me, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't feel that I necessarily choose. Mm-hmm. I feel like, well, for one, writing is how I make sense of all of these floating thoughts. And I think that we all have all of these floating thoughts all the time, but very few times we make time to allow them to settle. And I think that when I'm doing some kind of mindless task, whether it's like gardening or washing the dishes or one of those things that, you know, your body just automatically knows how to do, that's when those thoughts start to settle. At least for me, they do. And I think that when enough thoughts settle together about a specific theme, that's how the poem is born. Mm-hmm. And that's how it happens. It's whatever I've been giving most attention to in those last couple of days or months or whatever it is. And then things just settle, and they almost like settle on their own. Mm-hmm. in the way that my mind is finally making sense of it. And in the way that now I have a first stanza, second stanza, third stanza in the end. So, there's always like an evolution process within that at least it shoots out like the general skeleton. Mm-hmm. Of what that new piece is going to be. And so I'm just there to receive. Yeah. I'm just there to like let it happen.
No, I love how you use that word receive. And earlier you mentioned, like, you know, we're basically just a vessel for this creativity that's just flowing somewhere, you know? And what I find fascinating is that a lot of the experiences that sometimes the information that we consume, it sounds like we're all in a way sharing all these experiences, you know, just in different forms and different kind of matters. But the experiences that we're experiencing, a lot of other people have, you know, again, they connect. It's like when I hear that with that poem, I think a lot of my sister, because, you know, she's a lonely girl, and her whole life she was just being like so hard on, like, I just remember these things that just happened that I was just like, damn, that's unfair. And I had to sometimes like step in there, but like, hey, mom, parent, like my parents, like, hey, what are you guys doing? You guys are going, mm-hmm, too far. And like, I just felt like it was weird. And
it
now
was like that unfairness, like unbalanced.
Yeah. And it was messed up, because again, it was three of us and one of her, and you can just see how they, I wouldn't say put her on her pedestal, but she was their prize. Like, she was like my parents' pride and glory, you know. Pride and glory. We were just like, okay, just do your best. But like, it was just so much pressure. And it wasn't until she got older that she started telling me all this stuff, that she just felt like she was always like, they were on top of her. And now she turned out to be more like, you know, more about getting it and stuff. But it was because they were so hard on her that now she, in a way, kind of has a little resentment towards it.
Mm.
And it's, I can't understand that. I can't speak for it, but it makes me think like, fuck, I was interpreting things a different way, but this thing was affecting her in such a deeper level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Welcome to the reality of women, right?
Oh, fuck. My God. Yeah. It's crazy. And again, I can't speak on any of this, but it just sounds like a society has been made for us to, so what's it, what word am I using here? Society has made expectations of us, you know, like, mm-hmm, we have to have these certain plateaus in life to be considered successful, to be considered a independent man or woman or they or whatever, you know. It's all these things that we have, if we don't meet, we're not worthy of.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think I once read something along the lines of like, women need to work twice as hard to be considered half as good. And then also how we are expected to work, like, we don't have children, and then expected to raise children like we do not work. Mm-hmm. So with that, like just the level of expectations is also that much greater because yeah. we're expected to be doing these both roles. If there is obviously children involved, if not, there's like the idea of like you getting married and being a perfect wife. And there's mm-hmm. always that pressure. So I know I'm a parent already, but you know, I get asked often, like, when are you going to get married? Like, have you found somebody? Like all of these different things. And
yeah.
like, why are you pressuring me? Like,
yeah, just leave me alone, man. Yeah.
But yeah, there's just so much expectation mm-hmm. for women. And I think that we definitely rise to those expectations and we excel and we surpass those expectations many times. It doesn't mean that it doesn't get heavy and that it's that much more challenging for us, right? But I think if people start realizing that a woman's success also is not always dependent on marriage or having children, a lot of times, like especially within our culture, we hear that, right? Like mm-hmm. no matter what you've accomplished, no matter how many degrees, no matter like how many books you've published, no matter what great change you've made in this world, if you're not married with children, you still feel like you're not completely woman.
Yeah.
And I think we need to let go of that idea. So for me, it was important to acknowledge it within myself because I felt that I still kind of felt that since I was putting myself through that pressure. But once I let go of it, it was just that liberation and then realizing that, hey, we need to talk about this. Like we don't need to be married to be able to step yeah. out of our homes. A lot of times our parents don't let us leave the house unless we're getting married. You know, a lot of times we have to stay in the house. I was very, very grateful that I had extremely supportive parents in the sense of they always encouraged education and they always like encouraged me to, you know, just go and learn, go and mm-hmm. learn, go and learn, go and learn. That's what we came here for. And so I was able to leave the house for college.
Yeah. So
that was like the trade-off.
the trade-off.
So yeah, but I love that piece. It's I feel it. Feel it. Sometimes I'll just like be in the shower and I'll recite it to myself, you know, because I'm in that kind of mood.
Yeah.
And I've recited it enough times to myself that if you were to ask my son to recite it, he'll probably like what? Recite most of it.
No, no, but that's good because you're instilling these ideas at a young age. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who don't have, you know, the supportive parents, or there's a miscommunication between things. And it's sometimes it's hard to know that there's more than what your environment says you have, you know? Yeah. And when in this case, you know, just small things like you mentioned with your son, he's being exposed to these art forms. It's enough for him to be like, oh man, you know, my mom's a creative, you know, and that gives him confidence to push himself as well. Just how I hope to instill those same values to my kid. There was this one thing that you said in the art walk, and I hope I don't butcher it, but it was something about like the impact or the only impact that we leave behind is the impact of our love. Mm-hmm. Something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that was powerful, you know, because that is all we can leave behind. You know, that's mm-hmm. at the end when everybody's gotten it, that it's the memory, the way that they made you feel, like all these connections that you had with how, you know, how you value this individual. And that's the only thing you can do. Like, and yeah. I think that's more than enough because that hopefully gets passed on. And it's just these virtues that at some point become part of your persona and your future, you know?
Yeah. For my son's name is Camilo, and he is like my number one fan. He is my number one fan. It's insane. He thinks I am the smartest. He thinks that I can fix anything. It's funny because he breaks something and he brings it to me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you can fix it. Like, I know you can fix it. So one of the things that I told him is, it's like, I can fix anything except a broken heart. So please don't bring me a broken heart. I tell him that. Yeah. And so like now whenever he tells his friends or like people like, oh yeah, my mom can fix anything except the broken heart.
Making it clear. No, yeah. That's good. And that's what's crazy. Cause like, you know, when you become a parent, you immediately have to fill a bunch of these roles, right? Like you immediately have to be able to, I mean, it's a parent. It's like what you expect out of a parent, like just like immediate comfort, answers, like just peace. Like that's what you look for. And sometimes you're thrown into it. And like, you know, I think we're both young enough to be still be like, fuck, I'm still figuring life out myself. Yes. And you have to fake it in a sense, fake it till you make it. But
yeah,
it makes you own up to your stuff and just, you know, realize like, oh my God, like that's where you need to take control as well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we're growing up next to our kids. They don't know it, but we're growing up together, right, with the children. And Camilo, when I write anything, he's like, I like it. Like, you know, that's really how I ended up also having courage to be able to push through those like mental obstacles, to be able to say, it doesn't matter that I'm afraid, I need to go through this. And it's because he's watching, right? Like, and I think that great leaders lead by example. And as parents, we must learn to be great leaders. And so I can't ask of him to do something that I am not willing to do myself. So I can't encourage him to be fearless and being who he is and not being afraid. And then I'm over here tucking my wings, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no, like I need, like I'm encouraging him to fly. I need to show him how. So anytime, sometimes he'll randomly tell me like, mommy, can you recite me the poem about, you know, when I turned 8 years old. So we have this little thing where like I write him a poem every now and then and he likes it. So sometimes he's like, recite the one about, you know, and like, world you see in the sky. And I'm like, I don't really remember all of it. And he's like, oh, it went something like this. He kind of remembers parts that I don't remember. And so we piece it together while we're driving to school, while we're driving to the grocery store randomly. But it's so great. And like he always tells me that he loves whatever I have to say. And I'm like, you know, you're giving me some confidence, but now you're maybe making me believe that I can say something that people will listen to. And that's really how that courage started. I was like, okay, let me put myself out there a little bit more. And here we are now.
Oh, that's beautiful because, you know, I keep going back to the same example, but at least for me growing up, I didn't have like the best communication with my parents, you know, and a lot of the times it was more like, te están regañando and like, you know, doing all this stuff that's not necessary. Like if I'll get good grades, they'll be like, if I got B's, they'll be like, oh, no agarraste las A's. It's like, oh, but it's also, you know, it's still a mini goal, you know, it's like, I'm doing my best. And it's just these things that, again, it's like, instead of using positive reinforcement language or vocabulary, it's more like, oh, you could have done better. And it's kind of like, do I even want to keep trying? You know, it can cripple somebody.
Demoralizing. Yeah.
Exactly. That's the word. And it's hard. It's hard to break those patterns. So that's why now I don't want to say I'm more aware than my parents were, but I'm at, I guess that I don't even say, I don't even want to compare what
it's a different type. I guess it's a different type of awareness. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I don't want to sound and be like, hey, my parents are loud. You know what I mean. But you know, for sure, it's a different approach, and it's an approach that I hope instills the values that I wish I would have learned at a younger age, and give him in a way, kind of like a boost.
I agree, Camilo. I think that if we just like, so one of the things that I tell him so that he can be forgiving is forgiving towards me. I mean, is I tell him that this is my first time being a parent. So I'm not going to get it right all the time. Okay. And I tell him, you know, just the same way that I'm supposed to teach you, you're actually teaching me how to be a parent. And I'm learning from you. So this is a collaborative back and forth effort, you know, so don't think that it's one-sided. You're my teacher. I'm your teacher. We're in this together. And there's been moments where I've hurt his feelings and he tells me and, you know, I apologize to him and I tell him like, hey, I'm sorry. And he understands that I didn't really know. And so, it's amazing. It's amazing when you have that open communication with your children. And I think a lot of recent parents and parents nowadays are taking a little bit more of that approach to keep that line of communication open. So it makes me really happy to hear you say that you're on that same path.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a different approach, and I know a lot of people are still old school about it. You know, like I've seen people who are like regañando their kids. I'm like, well, maybe you should. Why are you screaming at your kid? And they're like, no, it's because they don't listen. I'm like, dude, so everybody's different. You know, it's kind of like how you work out. Everybody's different. Nobody's the same, obviously. But I like to say, like, you know, so you got to figure out an approach. You know, like you don't have to scream at them. You know, like. Mm-hmm. Maybe make them laugh, like, oh, you know, but let them know why you're entertaining them. Like, hey, this is wrong. You know, you're going to get hurt or something. And just, again, it's just the way that you're using your words, you know, that is going to change people's just mindset. I work on it all the time, but I like to tell myself when I do think something negative, I'm like, what are you thinking about? No, you got this, you know, and just push through it. Just do it while you're in that moment.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was thinking, since we're on the topic of parenting, maybe if you want to hear the poem that I wrote to Camilo about parenting, the one that he loves to hear. This is the one that I performed actually at the first Cela Art Fest that I felt people really connected with. And that was what gave me a little bit more of that nudge to say, like, hey, maybe I am a poet. I don't know.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Maybe. But let me pull it up here just because I want to make sure that sometimes when I start trying to, like, remember the poems, I start going through the first line of all of these different poems that I have tried to memorize, and I'm like, wait, no, it's not that one.
That's right, man. Sometimes my memory is so bad. I'm just like, what did I just like? I have to legit see the questions, otherwise, blank.
Yeah. So this one is it's a love letter to him, I guess. So it's called Love, Mom. And goes like this. I love how your worries and your fears still fit in my arms, the way you bury your face in my chest when you shy away and let the beating of my heart lullaby you into your dreams at night. And I pray that these moments last forever, but then you toss and turn and grow, and all I can do is whisper I love you into your sleep so your soul can stash them away for when you later need them, because I know one morning will come when life will demand more and promise you less, and you're going to feel the weight. And for that morning, I am now tough, and you can hate me for that, but I need you strong. So let me make this clear. My role as your mother goes beyond feeding you, clothing you, caring for you. It even goes beyond loving you. My role as your mother is greater than being your teacher and your mentor. It is to nourish your mind, to feed your soul, and expose you to the world and all that it is, its beauty and its dark side. To build you into a love-given human, compassionate yet strong, fearless but not reckless, self-loving and life-loving. A human serving a purpose greater than yourself. My role as your mother is not to protect you from the monsters under your bed and inside your head, but to push you to the battleground, clothe you in courage and hand you strength, show you how to hold your shield and swing your sword, how to wipe your sweat and calm your breath, how to heal your wounds and make it through another day. And I don't get it right all the time, but damn, we've had an amazing journey so far, and you've got no choice but to come along.
Oh my God. I'm not gonna lie. That one got me. A little unrelated, but like recently, one of my best friends, his mom passed away. And one of the things that he told me, and I hope he doesn't mind me just sharing a little bit of it, but he just told me, like if there's anything you can do for me right now, it's just go hug your mom. And that just struck me, you know, like it hurt. Mm-hmm. I hurt for him, and I hurt just the fact that it's a reality that we all come to face, that this figure in our life that's so powerful, and like how you mentioned, it's just a pillar in our existence, you know. It's
yeah,
I don't know, it was beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you.
I think that's definitely worth being called a poet. yeah. But oh my God,
I mean, loves when I recite it to him. That's the one that it's usually on request.
No, it's a good, he knows how to pick them. Wow, Gloria, that was really powerful. Like I hope you keep pushing it, you know, that like you keep pushing yourself too, you know, to do it. Like, I know it's, you know, sometimes I have like setbacks with the podcast, and it's easy to be like, oh, I'm gonna take a little break and just kind of like feel like maybe you shouldn't go back to it. But I think that's what makes people stand out. It's when we feel that way and we can still push forward and still figure out how to just get it done. And like, I feel like that's what you're doing, and it's awesome.
I feel so grateful that you know, I think, like, especially as parents, maybe you've experienced this, where you're so caught up on the day-to-day and you forget about that creative part of you inside. We all have something that allows us to create. That's what I feel inside. Whether we tap into it or not becomes sometimes a matter of circumstance. Mm-hmm. And I think as new parents, sometimes we find ourselves in the circumstance where we're not really focusing on anything outside of making sure the kids are taken care of, making sure the bills are paid, making sure like all of that is working okay. Yeah. And you forget to like really realize that there's a part of you that's asking for expansion and asking to unfold. And I think that, like, thankfully, within the last 3 years, I've been able to afford that time to be able to develop a little bit more and like nourish that part of me a little bit more here and there, not as consistent as I would want to, but it's still been such an opportunity for me. And I think that, yeah, the more I get to uncover, the more I realize, okay, maybe there is a little bit more, and maybe my writing can improve. And, you know, just like working on it, it's been a great journey so far.
Yeah, no. And again, it's just a reflection of what they're seeing, you know, and they see that you're willing to change and just adapt and take on new ventures. And it's, again, it's just a confidence that's built. And there's one thing that I kind of always try to remember. I forgot who said it, but like every now and then, you know, like I'll see my kid and we'll hang out and stuff. But there's days that I don't.
By the way, I'm sorry.
He just turned 9 in August. Okay. Yeah, so he's almost 10. So it's like, oh, I feel old. I'm like, dude, this is happened too fast. And I see people are like, man, stop talking about your kids. No, I'm not. When I see pictures of him as a kid, and I'm just like, Jesus, he's so big now. Like, it's just unbelievable. And, you know, and you start seeing how, like, they start changing. It's a little like they have more personality and like, oh, this is awesome. It's awesome. It's been an awesome experience up to date. And which goes to my point was that, like, there's days where I don't feel like I did enough. Like, maybe I no le di la atención or like something. And there's, I'm going to sleep and I'm like, fuck, I got to do better. Like the next day, you know, and it's like a reset for myself. Like every day, like it just pushes me to know that I'm aware and that I'm still trying and I'm learning and all this stuff. And it's a rocky experience, but it's awesome. I'll do it all over again.
Yes, I agree. I second that. And I think we might have become parents the same year, 2012. So, yeah.
2012.
Yeah. So my son is 9 years old.
What month was he born?
So I beat you to parenting. He was born January. So
okay.
Yeah. So in a couple of months, it will be 10 years as a mom. Oh, shit,
you're right. Yeah, it's already October.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the big double digit, right? So like one zero. Yeah.
I know. And from here, it's just puberty, adolescence, and I mean, hopefully we've prepared them enough so they're not all crazy ratchet, you know, but I mean, if they are, it is what it is. We'll still be there, you know, that's exactly. What's beautiful about it.
Exactly. We love them.
Well, Gloria, thank you. Oh, sorry. Go for it. You were going to say something else?
We're just here to guide them, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's one thing I think we need to kind of help other people understand. It's a lot, you know, the thought before is like, it's the kid. He does have to follow your rules, you know, like you're the one protecting them. So there's certain limits that you have to put, but at the same time, you have to be open for them to do their own exploration and, you know, just figure things out on their own sometimes.
Like yes. Yeah.
But Gloria, thank you so much for making the time to come on the show. It was a great experience, and I hope people, you know, go check out your stuff. If people do want to find you and they want to hear more of your poetry, is there a place where they can check this out, or do you have any future events planned out?
Well, I don't have a place other than my Instagram where I share very limited of my work, but you'll catch glimpses here and there. No upcoming events right now, but I do always keep an eye an ear out for open mics and whenever I hear of them, I try to just sign up and check it out. I usually share on my Instagram whenever something is coming up. So if anyone's curious, just check there.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again. I appreciate everything that you did. And it was awesome seeing you perform everything live, you know, in front of a bunch of people. And thank you again for the intimate experience of being able to actually hear it. And later on, when I rehear this, I'm just going to be like deep in my feelings, like, but thank you, Gloria.
Yeah, it was a pleasure for me. Thank you. It was great learning a little bit more about you, and great that you're doing this. It's amazing. You know, I know this is a lot of your time too, personal time. So it's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we both gotta keep doing the hustle.
Yep.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your night.
You do as well. Bye.